Hey, this is September 16th, and don't play the game.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Well, over the week, I've been thinking about so many different things, and I might as well start with this. There's a rumor that I may not teach the class after January. How did that rumor start? I started it. And I'll tell you why. The other day, remember, we live in a mental world, and we have to watch the movements of our mind. And I was not watching my mind, and my mind took over. And I said to somebody, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore because of this, all these different reasons. Well, when I hung up with that person, I was able to regain my mind. And the thing is, which I teach and which I firmly believe, money is never the issue. So we cannot blame it on the money. I teach this class because I want to teach this class. I teach this class because I enjoy teaching this class. So whether these chairs fill up or not is immaterial. So you see, if I have to have this room filled up to be able to teach, that is my ego talking. That is not my spiritual self talking. So that rumor, which I started, please ignore it and realize that this is a mental world that we live in. And if this teaching is to teach you to watch what your mind is doing to you, it is a completely God-oriented teaching. But what I do, which many people in the New Thought field do not do, I teach you that it is your mind that you have to take control of. Yes, we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. And we use the mind of God because that's the only mind there is. But it is your individualized use of that mind which makes you what you are, which makes your reality. And if you don't watch it, you see what it does even to me. It turns in on me. Remember Mary Baker Eddy? She said, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge. And you must always make sure that you win. And I was allowing my mind to win. I was sitting on the pity pot. We do not teach that. The world teaches you to sit on the pity pot, to feel sorry for yourself. This teaching is to teach you to be victorious, not to pity yourself. If you want to pity yourself for a moment, and then forget it and go on. Because you cannot say, which I just said, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses, and then think that you're helpless in any way, shape, or form. But the thought atmospheres that are out there in the world teaches us that we can blame somebody else besides ourselves. If this room does not fill up, I can blame no one. I can look at myself and say, where is your consciousness, Dallas? Why is your consciousness not strong enough to draw people in here? So I want to make that point clear. I'm not going to give up this teaching. It would be a dreadful thing for me to do to my own self because I learn. Every time I teach, I learn something about myself and about this thing called life. Or, if you want to put it this way, this thing called God. But I would like to make a few things clear. When I say this is a completely God-oriented teaching, that is absolutely true. Because in truth, God is all there is. So, but that does not mean that we sit around and worship God, that we venerate God in any way, shape, or form. God is God. God will always be God. Anything that you do, the pleading, the worshiping, killing chickens, or whatever you want to do, sacrificing them, will not change the mind of God. The mind of God is good and only good. And this mind of God wants for you only good. So we have to know that. When something comes into our life that is not good, it's not because of God punishing you. This thing called God never punishes. Remember, it never sits in judgment upon itself through you. The world wants to teach you that there is some power up in some place called heaven, looking down, watching every movement that you're making. And if you make the wrong movement, you are going to be punished for that. Now, you can look at that punishment as karma. In religious science, we do not believe in karma. The karma that we believe in, if we believe in anything, is instant karma. Because that's why a mistake is a mistake. You know it right away, usually. If you make a mistake, you know it. That's over and done with. Then do not make that mistake again. So the other thing, since I am teaching Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, and Ernest Holmes, what he did was take the truth from all different types of philosophies and from religions, and he found that little thread of truth running through everything, and he compiled it into a book called The Science of Mind. Now, what I do, which other people in Science of Mind do not do, I picked out this. Ernest Holmes said the idea is to learn to think the thought that you want to think, and to learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. If you are allowing your mind to think for you, then you are in trouble. And that's how I got in trouble during the week. I allowed myself to listen to my mind, and it was telling me all kinds of nasty things. Then I started to believe those nasty things. You cannot do that to yourself. So the idea here is not to learn more about God. You can do that if you wish. And all that you can learn about God is only a very, very small, minute thing. Because we'll never know. In the Bible it says you will never see God. You will never see the face of God because God doesn't have a face. And God is infinite. So we cannot describe that in any way. We get little portions and pieces. You think it one way, I think it a different way. It doesn't matter. The main thrust of this teaching or this class, which I am teaching, is take control of your thinking. Learn to think correctly. Remember that aunt that I had that made her transition? She was, I think, 93. I said to her, Aunt Catherine would have not have known religious science if she came up and slapped her in the face. But she was always happy. She enjoyed life. She always had everything that she wanted. And I said to her, how do you always maintain such a wonderful attitude? And she said to me, Dallas, I control my thinking. I control my thinking. She was married twice in her life. The first one was to a man by the name of Emerson, which would have been my uncle Emerson. And I said to her, she was divorced from him for 40 years. I said, do you ever think of Uncle Emerson? She looked at me and she said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If she didn't want to think about something, she did not think about it. And here's what you have to remember. You do not have to think anything you don't want to think. On the other hand, you're allowed to think anything you want to think. So why wouldn't you pick the thought that you want to think? Why wouldn't you do that for your own self? So that's part of this lesson this month of don't play the game. Don't play that mind game that the world is playing out there. That game of guilt, that game of shame, and that game of blaming. And that all comes from your own mind. It all comes from your own mind. I had a friend today talking to me, and she said, well, they'll probably be bad-mouthing me about this, that, and the other thing. I said, it makes no difference. What other people think about you is none of your business. It's what you think about yourself. This teaching is always about you. And what are you doing? What are you thinking? How are you thinking? Are you building yourself up? Do you realize that you are connected to this thing that we call God? That do you know that this thing called God would be incomplete without you? You see, these are the things to learn from this teaching. Now, here again, this course is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And here again, that abundance part of it. Do you remember? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That abundant life that this man Jesus was talking about is not all the trappings of life and all the money and so forth. The abundance of life is a feeling with inside of you that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. This is what abundant life is. Abundant life is to be able to be at peace with yourself and say to yourself, you know, I really like myself. Regardless of all these things that are going on, I like myself. We have never, and you have never, done anything that could upset this thing called God, because God always holds you in the highest of esteem. I said this a long, long time ago. God only knows good, and God only sees good. When you do something that's not good, God knows nothing about that. Nothing about that. Only you know that. And you can change that. But we're taught if we do something, now we need forgiveness from every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and this thing that we call God. The forgiveness that you need is your own forgiveness. You must forgive yourself. You are wonderful human beings. This is what we have to remember. So learn to control your thinking. Learn to control your mind. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. I said many times, and I'll say it again, feelings are the life of the organism. Feelings are the life of the organism. And you have to learn to feel good about yourself. The whole idea to come to this when we incarnated on this plane of action was to learn to love ourselves and learn that we are connected to this creative power that we call God, that we have control over our life because we have control over our thinking, and that we can draw into our life what we want. We can draw a good life to us, a good reality to us. But the world teaches us that that is not so. And it's out in front of us all the time because we watch the news. I don't happen to watch it. I just find it absolutely incredibly boring. So I never watch it. So I'm not up on any of the news that's going on. When people say something to me, did you know that? I always say, no, I didn't know that, you know. And I don't know it, and I get along quite well in the world without knowing all that stuff. As I said before, it's only 5% of what's going on. So don't concentrate on all that bad stuff. I hear people say all the time that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, that people are awful, this is going on, that's going on. Well, who wants to live in a reality like that? I don't want to live in a reality like that. Perhaps all that stuff is going on. Do I close my eyes or have a blind eye to it? No, I realize that there are many things going on out there in the world, but I do not give it my attention. If you give it your attention, it is going to grow. If you give it your attention, your mind is going to turn in on you like mine did this week and start to destroy you. You have to realize that this is a wonderful world that we live in. A wonderful world that we live in, and that we are very blessed and privileged to have this thing called life, this life that we have. What is the alternative? I don't know what the alternative is, but I know that when you're here and you're occupying this human body, you should be happy that you're here. Now, that other thing that we learn in this teaching is change your mind and change your life. And watch the movements of your mind. And this week, I discovered that's a very difficult thing to do. It's difficult to bring your mind back. It's difficult to stop that thinking. So, even though it's difficult, we have to be able to step back and see what our mind is doing and see the movements of our mind so that we can change our mind and live the life that we want to live, which is a happy life, see, a very happy life. Years ago, there was a song out by Peggy Lee, "If That's All There Is." And that used to be my theme song because I looked around, and this is before religious science, and I thought, well, if that's all there is, why bother? This is a horrible world. This is this, this, and this, and this. Today, I no longer feel that way. If this is all there is, there's so much out there. It's such a wonderful experience. So we have to learn to see that in ourselves. Who wants to keep going? I was thinking today, I could live another 30 years. Now, do I want to look at myself and live another 30 years and be unhappy for 30 years? No. I want to be happy from here on out. If I live 30 more years, I want to be happy through that whole time. It is my choice to do that. Nothing out there can do it for me. Only I can do it. I was at lunch the other day with somebody, and they said they gave their daughter two necklaces. They were very expensive, but those necklaces made her happy. A necklace cannot make you happy. I don't care how much it costs. If it makes you happy, it's only momentarily, because the mind then will immediately say, but this is a ruby necklace and I need a diamond necklace. It will not be satisfied. Your mind is never going to be satisfied. That's why last week we did the thing, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. You have to know that about yourself so that your mind is not always running your life. We are not our mind. Remember, our mind is ours to use, and we must learn to use that mind. So, don't play the game that the world is playing, and everyone is playing a game. And the world itself is playing a game. And it's wonderful to participate in these games if you know that it is a game. If you realize that this is nothing but thought forms out here. And you can play with these thought forms, but they have no power of their own. You are the one that's giving them power. So we live in a world of thought forms. That's why Emmett Fox said, you must remember that you live in a mental world. We may be spiritual beings, but we live in a mental world. And this is where we fall into trouble, because we start to play those mental games with ourselves and with other people. Know that you're thinking. Know that there's these are thoughts and so forth. But you are not your thoughts. If your mind comes up and tells you all that stuff, it is not you. It is merely a thought form going on. Remember years ago, my mind used to say, get up, get out of bed, you rotten, lazy lounge lizard. You'll never make anything out of yourself. My mind does not do that to me anymore. When I wake up, my mind says, good morning, Dallas. You're going to have a wonderful day. And then I proceed from there. But I had to train my mind to do that. I had to train my mind to tell me what I wanted it to do. You see, you have to be able to step back from yourself and see what you're doing. And see what you're doing. It's called detachment. The Buddhists call it detachment. So anyway, this whole idea of life is that choice that comes from A Course in Miracles. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And most people will pick right because it adds to the ego. And the ego always has to have something to add to it to make it feel good. You see? So, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that's a difficult one, too, because the mind will argue that you have to be right. It does not want you to be happy. If you're happy, you'd be content. If you would be content, you would find peace of mind. If you found peace of mind, where would the ego be? It would no longer have any place. So it's all, the whole idea is always in controlling your mind. It may be difficult to be able to do that, but it can be done. It took me a good 2 days, by the way, to accomplish it and to change my mind about this sort of thing and to realize that I love teaching this class and I cannot give it up and I don't care if I'm only teaching to one person. And years ago, when I was over on the other side, I remember during the holidays, one person showed up. I didn't say I'm canceling the class. We sat and had a class. And I would teach. So, this is what it's all about. You don't go for the money. You go for what you love to do. There's a wonderful book out called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. You see. But it's all in loving yourself and it's all in doing what you like to do. The money is never going to be the issue in your life. We allow it to become an issue and we think it's the most important thing. Once you give that up, money will start to come to you. Remember, money is a side effect of your consciousness, of your thinking. Now, what helped me to get out of this whole situation was you have to open yourself to all these different channels or streams of money that and prosperity that's out there in the world. If I thought that this class provided my prosperity, I would be completely wrong because God is always going to be the source and the supply of my good. And if you remember, next month, October the 20th, I'm leaving for a trip to Israel, which was a present to me, which was a gift to me from out of the blue. So, you see, money is going to come, prosperity and abundance is going to come regardless. But when you think that it's from just one source and not from God, this is when we get into trouble. So, God is always going to be your source and your supply. Now, the other thing, if I remember correctly, I did, was I told you that we're always living on the circumference of life. And we're trying to do something on the circumference of life instead of the very center of life. So we have to pull ourselves back and come from this thing that we call our center, or this spirit or soul, whatever you want to call it. There's something inside of us that never changes. There's something inside of us that never changes. It's always there, regardless. We can be rich, we can be poor, but that basic thing that's inside of us remains exactly the same and is never touched. Why is that? Because that's the eternal now that's going on all the time. You know, we can only ever live in the now. We can't live anyplace else. And this spirit that lives within inside of us, this connection that we have, is always in the now. So you can go back to that now. You can go back to that center. So take a moment now and close your eyes. And for those who don't remember, I happen to, an old record. And it's a 78. And it has that hole in the center, that very small hole. Now think of that spinning around. And you're on the outer rim of that. You're on that circumference. And this is where you think life is happening because things are happening out there. This is where the world is. Out on that circumference. You see the happiness. You see the sadness. You see the illness. You see the stock market. There's where. And you're living out there. Now, as that spins around and you see all those different things that you call your life, realize that they're out there on the edge, they're out there on the circumference. And then slowly bring yourself away from that and start to come to that center, to that small hole in the very center of the record. And as you get to that small hole, now you see all that stuff spinning around you, but you're not spinning with it. You're merely watching it. You're observing it. You're a fact finder. The circumference of life and all the turmoil and all the stuff, the busyness that's going on out there does not have to affect you. When you can draw yourself back to that center, stand very solid there, and just look at what's going on. And from the center, you don't feel that spinning. You can stand there in peace. You can stand there in peace. It is exactly like the ocean. You can have a storm on the surface, but deep at the bottom of the ocean, the waters are calm. So there's always calmness inside of you. There's always peace inside of you. And you can find that by coming back to center. And there, when you're at the center of life, you start to love yourself. And you start to see that none of that stuff out there can really affect you. It cannot change the basic person that you are. It cannot change the connection that you have with this thing that we call God. Only we do that by getting involved with all these things that we think are so important, by getting involved with these worries and all this stuff that I hear people say all the time. When you come to your center and find that calmness, that stillness, that peace, you start to come to the realization that you truly are being taken care of, that there is something, call it what you will, that loves you, that holds you in the highest of esteem. So from this center, you realize that you truly are the beloved. And this thing called God is pleased with you. Is pleased with you. So if this thing called God is pleased with you, don't you think you could be pleased with yourself? And this is what it's all about. Learning to be pleased with yourself. Learning to take control of your thinking. And do not allow the negativity that is out there in the world to get to you, to change you, regardless of how many people, how many millions of people think that the world is falling apart, that the world is awful, and that people are awful. Do not believe it. Be a majority of one. Hold yourself at the center of life, not on the circumference. Hold yourself there as you watch it spin around you. And find that peace that we are all looking for. We all think we're looking for this, that, and the other thing. That's a little mind trick. What you are looking for is peace of mind. You are looking for a feeling of well-being, a feeling of security, a feeling of wholeness, where you no longer feel less than. You can never be less than, because you are 100% filled with this thing called God. There is no other power. There is no other life. There is no other intelligence than this thing called God. And we truly live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So bring yourself to the center. Realize what a wonderful human being you are. You are the beloved, in whom this thing called God is well pleased. Rest there in that thought a moment, and come back when you're ready. So this teaching is always about you. You would like to think it's about God. And you would like to find out more about God. That may be possible. But you know enough about God to live a wonderful life. What you don't know enough about is yourself. And we don't know enough about our own thinking, our own mental capacities, to be able to take charge of our life. So that's what this teaching is about. People turn it into all kinds of things. And of course, everyone always wants to turn everything into a religion. Why that is, I have no idea. But they want to make it a religion, thinking then God will like us. God is incapable of not liking you. You never have to do anything to impress God. You cannot impress God. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. Learn to hold yourself in the highest of esteem. After my little bit of mental meltdown this week, I had to forgive myself, and I had to go on and rebuild my thinking and rebuild my mind. And here again, I could come in here and never tell you these things. And make myself look wonderful. Not that I don't think I look wonderful. But we all go through this same thing. For anyone to stand up and say they didn't go through this, or this didn't happen to them, or they didn't have this feeling or that feeling, do not believe those people. We have to feel all these feelings, and we have to be able to do something with them. And that is the crux of this teaching. Always feel the feeling, but then do something with it. Correct that feeling. This is what it's about. You see, you can pray to God and do all that kind of stuff. And I'm not telling you not to do that, by the way. But it's not going to change your mind. And you're never going to change the mind of God. The mind of God is absolutely set. I can tell you that. That's one thing I know about the mind of God. Perhaps that's the only thing of importance that I know about the mind of God. You cannot offend God. God loves you that much. So we have to learn that for ourselves. And we have to put ourselves in a different light so that we see ourselves the way we truly are. And not allow the world to tell us differently about ourselves. We want to what? We want to know that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. New people may not know, but nothing difficult. Nothing difficult. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. So we only have this now moment. And in this now moment, we are the ones who must choose. Do we want to be right? Do we want to be happy? And what happiness do we want to bring into our lives? The world is filled with wonderful things out there. See the wonderful things and ignore the rest of it. There's no need to get into all of that. When I first started this, and it still happens when new people come in, they immediately want to know, well, then just tell me about Hitler. I don't know anything about Hitler. You know, he was a nasty, mean old man. The only thing I know is he's at the same place we're going to go. Because there's no such thing as hell. So, does that make me think bad of this thing called God because God did not punish that man? No, doesn't bother me in the least. The other thing that people always want to know, well, how about children? Well, I don't know the answer to that either. So when I don't know the answer to anything, I do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. I put those things on the shelf. And someday, when I have enough knowledge, when I get more enlightenment, more wisdom, perhaps I can pull those down and see what's there. But when we project outside of ourselves and we want people to be punished and so forth, this thing called God doesn't punish. And if we're one with God and we're made in the image and likeness of God inwardly and we have the same qualities of God, then why do we always want to punish? Because the game that the world is playing is a game of punishment. You must be punished for the wrongdoings in your life. Now, who is making that judgment? Who is making that judgment? You say, I don't make judgments. You know, I just let things happen. I may not be pleased with what's going on around me sometimes, but I don't make a judgment. I move away from that, and I go back to the concept that this is a wonderful life, that it's a perfect life. And that I am perfect and everyone else is perfect. Because this thing called God is perfect. And something that's perfect cannot make something that's imperfect. So you have to see yourself differently. You have to change your thinking. You have to change your mind. And not buy in to what the world is telling you. There's a thought atmosphere that has been going on for the longest time in human history, and that is the idea that people think they're less than. And that's the ego mind telling you that you're less than. I have to have more education. I have to look better. I have to do this because I'm comparing myself to somebody else. You see, you cannot compare yourself to anyone. If you know that God is all there is, and there's nothing but God, how can you compare? God doesn't compare because there's nothing to compare to. You have to realize that you are an individualized expression of God, that there has never been anyone like you before. There'll never be anyone like you again. That you truly are the rarest of the rare. And regardless of what your mind tells you, inside of you is many, many talents and many gifts which you can draw on and or draw from. So, if you think you're slighted in any way, give that idea up. You have something to give and something to offer the world. You would not be here if that were not true. This thing called God does not believe in chance or accident. We're here for a particular reason. Find out what you love to do and do it. Find out what you love to do and do it. And then you'll see that your life changes and that you change it. It makes it a much better living experience. You've been given a great gift. We've all been given a great gift. And that great gift, when I tell you that the gift has already been given, that's your mind. Now, the trouble with that gift didn't come with instructions. So we have to figure out how to think correctly and how to think correctly about ourselves. And we're not taught that. Because of our conditioning, and I use the word conditioning, I mean from day one, we were conditioned by people around us, by our parents, by authority figures, and by the world itself. So we become puppets of this conditioning. But when you become aware that you are not your mind, when you become aware of the patterns in your life, you can change them. But so many people go through this whole life experience thinking that their thoughts are them. Your thoughts are only thoughts. You do not have to act on any thought that comes through your head. And you can learn to think the thought that you want to think and learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. So that's what this teaching is really about. It's not about this thing called God. We learned when I was a child, and you people learned also, that there was some entity, a superhuman being, an old man on a cloud sitting someplace in heaven with a big book who wrote everything down. And a record was kept of your life and all the mistakes that you made and yada, 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 whatever it is. When you got into what we call new thought, you discovered, oh, this thing called God is not anthropomorphic, meaning it doesn't have arms, legs, it doesn't look human. It's an idea, it's a concept, it's intelligence, it's a wisdom going on someplace. And that changed your idea. But the world never changes. I hear it constantly. You hear it in conversation wherever you are. Aha, the big man upstairs is going to get you. We hear it constantly. We keep giving God human qualities. If God had human qualities, the world would be gone by now. It would no longer exist because God would get angry. God would be jealous. Where did we get those angry gods and jealous gods from? From the ancients. From what we call pagans. All religion started in paganism. And it still draws on pagan religion. And we're moving above that now. We're learning to see that. And we're being able to give those ideas up. I'm talking, when I say we, I mean the people in New Thought, some of them. Not the world. The world will never give up that idea. The world is always going to hold God in heaven. Just think what, you'd have to get rid of all that artwork. You'd have to get rid of everything if you, you know, you think God, and there's a thing on a church, a Catholic, not that that matters, called Christ the King Church. And they have a statue of this man they think is Jesus out front with a crown on his head, just like kings and queens used to wear. This thing called God has no crowns, people. This thing called God does not live in a city with gold streets and pearly gates and all that. This is man-made. It is made up, all that stuff. It's a fairy story. And it was taught to people that were ignorant, meaning they could not read or write. So they had to show them pictures. They had to come up with something for these people. The faith of your fathers no longer works. And if you're relying on the faith of your fathers, it's not going to get you what you want in life. Did it get your father what he wanted in life? I don't think so. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I'm speaking from my experience. I'm quite sure my parents had no idea what life was all about. It hit them like a ton of bricks, and they spent the rest of their life trying to dig out of that. So it wasn't a very abundant life for them. So the whole idea is to find the abundant life. And that abundant life is inside of you by finding your own qualities that are in there. And we all possess those qualities. Remember, William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. So if you want to assume something, start to assume that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Don't just give it lip service. Assume that as a truth, and it will become a truth to you. And this is one of the mental laws. You can assume something, and it will become true. That is the power that you have. So this thing called the mind, the gift has already been given, and with that mind came what? This wonderful thing called imagination. So use your imagination. But earlier when we did the record, this is the way I saw it, and I hope the rest of you saw it. It doesn't matter if you saw it the way I did. But if it led you anywhere and if you could see the big circumference of life and spinning around out here, and that you're at that center of that instead of out here on the circumference, when you come to the center, then you can look at the whole circumference. When you're in the circumference, you're going around with it. You don't have that peace. You don't have that objective thing. So it boils down to what the Buddha said. Detach yourself from life. That does not mean give up. That does not mean have full fun. You should always be having fun. It's a game, for goodness sakes. Life's a game. You should be having fun with all the thought forms that are out there. Doesn't mean you have to become those thought forms, but you can learn to see them, and you can learn to have fun with them, you can learn to rearrange them, and you can learn to laugh at them. You see, that's the whole idea in life, is to see something and learn to laugh. Learn to laugh, and learn to laugh at your own self. And I had my meltdown. Did I not laugh at myself? No. As soon as I realized what I was doing, I said to myself, you know, that wasn't very spiritual, Dallas. You think you're so hot and high and all, and that wasn't spiritual. But I didn't kick myself. I got to laughing because it wasn't spiritual. Here I'm sitting telling people to be spiritual, and I'm falling down the tubes. So I have to laugh at that. You have to laugh at yourself. And then instantly forgive yourself and start thinking differently. And start loving yourself and loving everything around you. So, that is what it's all about. Learning to love yourself. Learning to take good care of yourself. And don't take this whole thing seriously. I was taught years ago the idea of why do angels fly? Because they take themselves lightly. Because they take themselves lightly. And we don't take ourselves lightly. We think that everything that we do is so important. Everything we do is so important. We put so much weight on it. And that's our ego. That's all that is the ego mind. Thinking that you're so important. And every once in a while, perhaps that was a nice lesson last week with me. Here I think I'm on the spiritual path. And I fall down the tubes, but I learn to laugh. Do you remember my other thing? If you want to find out how spiritual you are, get behind the wheel of a car and start to drive, and you'll see how far you go before you start yelling and carrying on with the other people that are out there on the highway. So your spirit just goes out, you see. But that's part of the whole game. And you don't stay there. You learn to love yourself. It's always going to boil down to that. The main thrust of this teaching is it's a mental world we live in. You can change your mind and therefore change your life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.